Good morning. How's everyone doing? If you have your Bibles, please take them out to John chapter 16. And if you have your outline from the bulletin, please take that out. You're going to need it today because we have a lot of points as you're going to find out. You're going to want to have that in front of you. So take that out. John chapter 16. We'll conclude this series. Next week will be the last message of this series. So we're still in our same series that we've been in the last several weeks. And then in the beginning of September, we're going to start a brand new series, and I'm looking forward to that one. I remember many years ago, I was having trouble with my car. It was kind of an older car, and I was having trouble with it. So I ended up buying a brand new car, you know. And once you get a new car, you don't expect to have any problems with it, right? You expect it to be good, nothing that be problems with it. But I remember driving, not after long I got the new car, I was driving the new car. And this is when I lived closer to the city of Chicago, a lot more traffic. And I was driving it, and all of a sudden, the brand new car just went dead. And I was able to get to the side of the road. But when a car goes dead, the power steering goes up, about everything goes out. I'm trying to get it to the side of the road. And I get it to the side of the road, and I'm sitting there. I said, what is this? And after a few minutes, the car starts back up, and I go on my way. But I take it back to the dealership, and I tell them about this. And so they put it back there and put it on there, do an analysis on it. And they come back and say, we didn't find anything. So I said, okay, maybe it was just one of those things that happened. So I take the car out, and a few days later, the same thing. I'm driving down the road, and then goes dead again. And now I'm kind of upset. So now I take it back to the dealer, and I say, the car went dead again. I can't depend on it. It's a brand new car. I can't depend on it. And they said, okay, let us run it through analysis. They ran it through analysis, and they say, hey, we didn't find anything. There's nothing wrong with it. We can't find anything. It's not showing anything up. And they said, to tell you what, the next time it goes dead, you need to bring it in. Just call us, and we'll come pick it up. And then that's what we need. And I thought, who wants to drive a car that's going to go dead at any time? So sure enough, I'm driving the car, and I remember driving, and I'm going over a railroad track. And right there, as I'm going up, there's a little hill going up the railroad track, it goes dead, and it stops right on top of the railroad track. Now, this is closer to Chicago, and people are beeping their horns at me, and it's a place where commuter trains come by, so they come by every few minutes, and some of them fly by. There's a direct line from out in the suburbs to Chicago, and they're flying by there, and you got to get your car off. They're in it. So I'm over there, and I think, what am I going to do? So I get out, and I start to push my car, and another gentleman gets out of his car. A younger guy comes, and he helps me push my car out, and I remember pushing my car, getting it in the side, and I'm thinking to myself, why is this happening to me? Why do I keep having trouble with my car? Other people buy new cars. They don't have trouble with them. I don't have time to take my car to the dealership, right? Those are all the questions. Well, those were all the wrong questions to ask. And that is exactly what happened night before Jesus was crucified. Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and he's telling his disciples that he's going to leave. And they're asking all the wrong questions. If you have your Bibles to John 16, we are going through a series, Uphill Living in a Downhill World. And this was the night before Jesus was crucified. And he's trying to prepare his disciples for them because he's going to be leaving them. And Judas has already made the decision. He's already made the decision because of money that I'm going to go downhill. He's already made the decisions that I'm not going to follow this Jesus anymore, that I'm going to betray Jesus. He made a horrible decision. He made a wrong decision. But now the disciples, all those disciples have got to choose. They've got to make a choice. Are they willing to follow Jesus in the uphill journey? Are we willing to follow him? Or are they going to go downhill where the Bible says the road is broad and comes out of destruction, reaches destruction? And so Jesus is saying to them, look at verse 5, John 16, verse 5. He says, now I am going to him, means to the Father, who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, and here's the thing, none of you ask me what you should be asking me. You should be asking me, where are you going, is what he says. Now, some of that I put in there, as you know. Where are you going? On two other occasions, Jesus had told them that he was going to leave them. And on those occasions, they asked the right questions. It's like, where are you going and how do we get there? Notice what Jesus says here, verse 6. Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. Because I told you I'm leaving. So they're filled with grief. The reason they're filled with grief, because they're focused on self. They're not focused on Jesus' mission and what Jesus came to do and what he came to accomplish. And he came to set out to do the Father's will and accomplish his will. And his mission was almost done here on this earth. And he's getting ready to go back to the Father. They weren't focused on that. They were focused on themselves. And they were asking questions like this. What happens to us? And why is this happening to us? We have followed him now for 3.5 years. We sold our boats. We gave our nets away. And I had a wonderful job as a tax collector in Capernaum. And now it's all gone. All this is gone. And now Jesus is telling us he's going to leave us. He's just going to leave us. What about us? What are we going to do? So they're filled with sorrow and grief because they're just thinking about them. How does this affect them? May I suggest that when circumstances change and we don't understand what is going on around us, that we ask the right questions. It's so important we ask the right questions. And those questions maybe don't relate directly to us and our feelings, but they relate to God and what God is doing. We need to be thinking, what is God doing? And maybe the best question I could have asked that day when my car went dead was, God, what are you up to? God, what are you doing in my life? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn through this? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to do? Maybe I should have been asking those questions. Is it possible that God allowed all that to happen or he made that happen so I could tell the man that helped push my car that day about I was going to church at night to Awana, to a children's ministry. And he had children in the back seat that maybe God wanted me to invite those children to come to Awana that night. Or maybe he wanted me to have a conversation with the gentleman at the dealership, not about my car, but about Jesus. Maybe that's what he wanted. Or is it possible that God had a direct lesson for me? And he says, Doug, this is a 9,657th time that I'm teaching you about patience and teaching you about to depend upon me and teaching about self-control. He says, I'm trying to teach you all these things. So my question should be, God, what are you up to? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to learn? That's what I should be asking. So Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples in the verse 7. He says, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And if I'm a disciple at that time and Jesus is saying to me, I'd say, Jesus, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're going to leave, and it's good for us that you leave, and you're going to send this counselor back to us. What are you talking about? They had no idea what he's talking about. Have you ever thought about this? And I began to think about this. What if God's plan were different? What if his plan was different? I mean, it included Jesus coming from heaven, God coming from heaven and coming to this earth and taking in the form of human being, taking in the form of 100% God, 100% man, and included Jesus going to the cross and dying for the cross of all humanity. It included Jesus being raised from the dead and all those kind of things, and then he shows himself to the people. But what if his plan, there was no ascension that recorded in Acts chapter 1? What if Jesus never returned to the Father and he was left to live here on earth? How would that change everything? So as generations came and went and people came and died, there would be one who would never die. The one to be here all the time, that would always live. And his story would not only be told through scriptures, but it'd be told around the world. And people would either love him or they would hate him. And wherever he'd go, whether it was in London or Tokyo, San Francisco, New York or Chicago, right here in Rochelle, people would show up to see him. They would be there to see him. And perhaps it was because of those like Thomas, they had a hard time with their faith. And they needed to see those nail prints in his feet and his hands. And they needed to see that. And we think sometimes it would be so good if Jesus was right here on earth. And Jesus said, no, that's not my plan. That's not my plan at all. He says, no, that is not what I plan. I'm going to leave you. And it's good for you that I go. It's good for you that I leave you. And I thought about that Jesus left this earth and he went back to God the Father. And I thought, how is it good for them that Jesus would return to the Father? And that's what this message is about. That's what we have the outline. That's what you need to have that outline. And so I started thinking, so this morning I want to look at the blessings of Jesus. And really what it is, the blessings of Jesus leaving and going to the Father. That's what this is really about. So the first blessing of Jesus, that Jesus is our forerunner, and that's really what I'm focused on, our kind of slash high priest. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be in another passage in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, I want us to look at. The book of Hebrews is a unique book that it exalts the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks of the doctrines of his incarnation and his substitutionary death and also him being a high priest. And it also gives us that connection of that relationship of the new covenant and the old. in there. And it helps us to understand a little bit more. So let's read this passage of scripture that we have in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We don't know the writer of Hebrews, but it was a tremendous writer, wrote so many good things in there for us to understand. And he says this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Look at those words at the beginning of verse 20. It says, "where Jesus who went before us." That Greek word suggests a forerunner, what it's talking about. And it was a word that was used in ancient times for large ships that would be in the deep oceans. And those large ships would have a very difficult time coming in the shallow Greek harbors. So what would happen, they would send out this small boat. They would come out from the shore and go out and hook up to the anchor line of those large ships, and then it would guide those large ships into the Greek harbors safely. And that little boat was called the forerunner. And so what this is saying is Jesus was the forerunner for all of us. What he did on the cross for us, that he died on the cross for our sins, made it possible for him to go behind the curtain as Jesus entered the Holy of Holies of the Most High God to offer a sacrifice that only he could offer, because only he was the Son of God. Only he was the perfect one, because the one that offered that sacrifice had to be able to represent God and also represent all of humanity. There's only one that was qualified. Only one that came from heaven that was perfect in all his ways, who is God. It's Jesus. And only one that took on the form of humanity and was 100% human. There's only one that was the God-man that could go and offer that sacrifice to God and lay his body down to God and shed his blood for you and I. There's only one that could do that. So Jesus dying on the cross wasn't just an example or a model of love. Jesus' death on the cross was a substitution. He died for you and I. So he goes in there as our forerunner, is what the Bible is saying. As a result, we have a forerunner to the throne of God. Someone who's went before us to that throne. It also says he's our high priest in the form of Melchizedek. And it's very important. But Jesus was the first to go through that curtain. Now we can all go through that curtain. And we follow Jesus, who gives us the safe passage to go behind the curtain, to right to the throne of God. And in fact, what Paul is writing in Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 2:5, he says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it's the man Christ Jesus." He said there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, only one mediator between them, and it's God. It's not someone else. It's not some other way. It's not through good works. There's only one person, and he said it's Jesus Christ. And for all of us, we should be very thankful that there's only one person. That is Jesus. And we see that right here in scripture. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand. So now you and I can go directly to God because Jesus was the forerunner. He was the first to go behind the curtain and present that sacrifice. And aren't you glad that Jesus took a sacrifice there that satisfied God's justice? That when Jesus offered himself to God as the sacrifice, God was satisfied with that. It was sufficient and it was good. And aren't you glad about that, that he was satisfied with it? Aren't you glad that every time you sin, now you don't have to come and confess your sins to someone like me? Aren't you glad? I mean, I'm certainly glad. Aren't you glad that we can go directly to the throne because we have a forerunner? That's what the Bible says. And now we can go directly to the throne. Before, they couldn't do that. But because of Jesus, they can go directly to the throne of God and they can speak to God, the Bible tells us. And it's amazing that we can do that. The second blessing of Jesus leaving, and I always love this one, Jesus is preparing a dwelling place in heaven for us, he says. Preparing a dwelling place. He says there in the 14th chapter, "I'm going to leave." And he must have told them they couldn't stand here. And then he said, "I'm going to leave." And then they asked the right question at that time. Thomas did. Thomas says, "Lord, if you're leaving, where are you going? How are we going to get there?" And then Jesus follows up with that tremendous verse in John 14:6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." He goes, "I'm the only way to get to heaven. I'm the only way you're going to get there. I'm the truth. I'm the life. There's no other way to get to heaven. It's through me." But he also said this, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you be with me so that you may be where I am." So Jesus says, I have to go to heaven to make a place for you because I want you to come live with me in heaven. Because the place I'm building is a better place than this, and I want you to come and live with me. So I got to leave here now so I can build that place in heaven so you can go and live with me. That's what he was saying. The King James translation says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we always like that word. There's mansions in the sky that God is building. Dwelling places. Many rooms is what it talks about. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 10, Abraham talks about that he was not content with what was here on earth. Matter of fact, it says this, rather he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, is what it says. And the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 21, he talks about that, that this holy city, the New Jerusalem, is going to come down from heaven and come down to Mount Zion, is what it says, to the holy hill. It's going to come down that one day. And what he's saying here is great news for all of us. It gives great hope to all of us that are here that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because if you have a family member who has put their faith and trust in Jesus and have passed from this life and went into the next, be home to be with the Lord, you know based on the fact that Jesus said, I'm leaving here and I'm going to my Father and I'm going to build a place for you. You know that that loved one that passed from this life into the next, that grandmother, that grandfather, that great-grandfather, that great-grandmother, the husband, the wife, your best friend, your loved one that you know is there in heaven with Jesus in that place that he's built for them. That's what we know. That's the hope that we have. Those people that have gone before us that know Christ as your Savior, they're with Jesus right now. And he's built the home for them right there. And all of us that know Christ as our Savior, he says, I'm building that dwelling place for you. I'm building that place for you that has your name on it. It's reserved for you. And one day you're going to come live with me because it's a much better place. And that's the hope that he gave them. He said, I want you to come live with me. I've come down here to you and I'm telling you where I live is a much better place. And I want you to come and live with me. So as I'm going to build you a place. And he's saying that to every one of us that we have a dwelling place with him. The third blessing of Jesus is Jesus gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, one of the reasons that Jesus left so that you and I can have gifts. It says this, he who descended to the lower earthly regions, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it's talking about because Jesus, he ascended, because he did this, he now gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets. He gave some to be evangelists. He gave some to be pastors and teachers and so forth and so on. So one of the reasons that Jesus left, one of the blessings that he gave is better for you guys as disciples that I leave because I'm going to give you gifts. And it's better for all of us as now his followers of Jesus Christ, all of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus. It's better for us because he's given us gifts, spiritual gifts. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you have at least one spiritual gift. And you're to use those spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ, is talking about. Build up the church. God has given you them that you may glorify him. And the way you glorify him is to minister to others with those gifts that God has bestowed upon you. Not so you take them yourself and say, they're mine. Boy, I'm so glad I have them. God said, no, they're not just for you. They're for you to share with others that gift that God has given you to build up the body, to encourage one another, to minister to one another. And that way we glorify God with those gifts. That's what God wants. The fourth blessing of Jesus leaving is Jesus gives us encouragement. Again, in Hebrews chapter 4, he gives us encouragement. And this passage says this in Hebrews 4:11. It says, for we do not have a high priest, and Jesus is our high priest, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. He has been tempted in every way just as you and I, but this one caveat, yet was without sin. So Jesus understands what you're going through. But matter of fact, Jesus went through it and he took the full temptation to the maximum and he never gave in. You and I, when we're tempted many times, we give in and we sin. Jesus never did. So he understands what it is to be tempted. He understands what it is, but he never gave in to the temptation. He never sinned. And it says, he goes on to say, because of that, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence or boldness so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so now that we can come to the throne of grace with boldness, it says. And one of the reasons Jesus left, so he could be at that throne of grace and offer you and I mercy. Isn't that wonderful? He can offer us mercy. When that water is rising in your basement and things are going on at home and all these things are happening, when you go to work and your boss says, hey, we got to lay you off. You no longer got a job. And everything else happens. You go to that doctor and says, we need to take a second look at those spots. Or I don't like what I'm seeing here. We need to do more tests on those kind of things. Anytime that you hear that, the Bible says, I can go to that throne of God, that throne of grace, and it will always be open. And I can receive the mercy that I need. There I'll always find mercy is what the Bible's telling me. I will always find it. Somehow in God's gracious way, somehow he's able to do this. He provides the mercy that we need in the moment of the very need right there that we have. He provides exactly what we need every time in our life. Only God can do that. So Jesus gives us encouragement and hope for tomorrow, always does. And here's the thing, God says today I'm gonna give you the grace and the mercy and the hope and the encouragement that you need for today. And you say, what about tomorrow? I said, tomorrow will take care of itself. But I'll give you all you need. If you need more tomorrow, if you need less, I'll give you that. If you need more, it's there. All my grace and mercy, encouragement, hope will be there. And it'll be more for the next day, more for the next day. And he's saying there's unlimited supply of his grace and mercy and encouragement and hope to all who know Christ as their Savior, to all of us. And he promised that I will be there to encourage you every step of the way, no matter what you go through, I will be there and it will never run out. When we come to the throne of God, every time he says it will be there. The fifth blessing of Jesus leaving is Jesus prays for us. It talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, who can bring any charge against those whom has chosen, whom God has chosen? And what this is saying, who can bring any charge against us? Who can say that we've done wrong? There's only one that can do that. You know who it is? It's Jesus. The only one that can bring a charge against you and I, who can condemn us, is Jesus. And what does he choose to do? He chooses to intercede for us. He chooses to pray for us. He doesn't condemn us, but he prays for us. And I hope you pray. I hope you spend time in praying with others. I hope you spend time maybe coming in here on Sunday mornings, and I invite you to come here on Sunday mornings to our prayer partner ministry. They meet down there at 9 a.m. and they pray over the church. They pray with each other, and then they meet with me and they pray over me, and it's such a blessing. I'm going to tell you, such a blessing to me to have people praying over me. But I hope you're praying with others, and I hope you maybe pray with your small group and you're spending time praying with others. And maybe you have people that pray for you. Maybe you have a list of names of, you know, these people are praying for you. And on that list of names people are praying for you is Jesus. You didn't put him there. He put himself there. And he's letting you and I know that I pray for you. And the one of the benefits of me leaving is so now I can be in heaven praying for you. So anytime Jesus might be praying for you and I, and that gives me great encouragement in my life to know that God is on my side and that Jesus is praying for me. He's literally on my side. Doug, you can do this. I'm praying for you, Doug. You can do this. And he's saying the same thing to you. And it gives us great hope to think about that. Think, our Savior is praying for us. He's actually praying for you and I that we do well and we're able to accomplish God's will, that he thwart the enemy out of our way and get him out of our way so we can serve him. He's there praying for us. He's on our side is what that tells us. The sixth blessing of Jesus leaving is Jesus is our defense attorney. Our defense attorney. One of the benefits of disciples and for us is we have a defense attorney. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We have an advocate. We have an advocate in our defense. In John chapter 16, let's go back to verse 7. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The counselor he's talking about is the Holy Spirit, sending another of the same kind, the Holy Spirit, to us. And the Greek word in there is paracletes, and I talked about this a few weeks ago. It means called alongside to help. He's called alongside to help us is what that means. That is the Holy Spirit. He's called alongside to help you and I. Jesus said, I'm going to send a counselor. The Holy Spirit, he was called alongside to help you. The same John, when he's writing here in 1 John, says, if we sin, we have an advocate. We have one who speaks in our defense, who's called alongside to help us. Talking about Jesus. He's called alongside to help us. So Jesus is our defense attorney. And if we sin, we have one who speaks in our defense. We have an advocate. We have a defense attorney is what the Bible says. And you cross-reference that in Revelation chapter 12, where there's a throne scene in heaven. And the Bible lets us know that the wicked one is before the Father, and he's accuser of the brothers and sisters in Christ. He's accusing us before him. You know what he's doing? You know what she's doing? He's accusing you and I. And can you imagine that the wicked one's up there now and he's accusing God about me? He's saying, you know, Doug, you got him leading one of your churches down here. I can't believe you got him doing that. You know his heart. You see what he does? You see what he thinks? You know his motives? And my defense attorney, unlike anyone here on earth, not that they're bad, but my defense attorney has never lost a case. And my defense attorney who left earth and went to heaven, he's there and he says, yes, I see what Doug's doing, but my blood covers all that. I shed my blood for all those things he did. And the enemy is saying, the wicked one says, but this is the 757th time he's done it. And Jesus says, even so, my blood covers all that. Even so, my blood covers all that. This is not permission to sin. This doesn't mean, oh, I get to do whatever I want and we're going to be forgiven. I won't have the joyful Christian life if I do whatever I want. But don't misunderstand me. That's not what it's saying. But what it is saying is, this is the reality of the blessings that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. That all of our sins are forgiven. Some of you may not like that. Wow, Pastor, why would you say that? But that's what the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. No matter what I've done, if I accepted Christ as my Savior, all my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And nothing can take me from God's love. Nothing can take me from that relationship with God. And that's what he's telling us. And because Jesus chose not to stay here, but now that he's in heaven, his ministry of spiritual redemption is complete. It was completed at the cross where Jesus died up on the cross. And he says, it is finished. I've completed it. But his work is not complete. And Jesus is still working, and you're in my life today, still at work, working in our lives, helping us to become more like him. Amen? Let me give you another one. The seventh blessing of Jesus leaving. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a short list. But I just wanted to give you these ones. That Jesus works through us. Jesus says, because I'm leaving, I'm going to work through you. And he's talking to his apostles, to his disciples right there. And he says, you're going to do greater works than I've done. And we see that through the book of Acts. We see that throughout church history. God used men and women to do some amazing things. To impact continents. Total continents with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doing it all through Jesus, or Jesus working through them. Whatever you want to say. It's one of the way. They did it through Jesus. Jesus working through them. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Let's look what it says. We who are accepted Christ as our Savior are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The emphasis is that it's not the physical presence of Jesus here. The emphasis of that word is the presence of his representatives here on earth. All those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, that's what he's saying. Millions of us scattered throughout the world. He's saying, where he says, now you are my ambassadors for Christ. You are my representatives wherever you are, is what he's saying. As though God is making his very appeal through us of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm making my appeal of the gospel through your life, through your actions, through your motives, through your words. That people see you and they see the gospel. They're going to share it. I'm making my appeal through you, is what he's telling us. And we look at it and say, wow, God's working through us. And now I'm the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm the gospel message wherever I go. I'm to take it and share it with people is what he's saying. Let me ask you, as you look at your outline, hopefully, how many of you got your outline? You got your outline? Hopefully you're filling out that outline. You look down at your outline, you look at these points. Let me ask you, is this better? Is this better that Jesus left this earth and he went to heaven? It's much better. If Jesus was here, he'd only be at one place at one time. And because he sent his Holy Spirit, he's everywhere, right? Well, that's the next point. And what we have to understand is the disciples didn't know this. They knew because Jesus just told them, I'm going to build you a dwelling place. So they understood this. But they didn't understand the rest of this. The Holy Spirit will inspire them to write down the word of God. And they'll write this down later. So you and I have it. So you and I have a much greater advantage than they had that night before Jesus was crucified. We have all these great truths. And there's so many more than what I'm giving you today. We have all these great truths because the inspiration of the Holy Spirit led the apostles to write down the word of God in which we have today. But let me give you another one. This one's so important. You can't leave this one out. The eighth blessing of Jesus leaving is Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. And we have to all be thankful for that. He sent his Spirit to us. Jesus, because I'm leaving, I'm going to send another helper, another of the same kind. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come down. I'm going to go. He's going to come. And there's another blessing I'm sending you, a tremendous blessing I'm going to send to you. It's my Spirit. When you look at the Holy Spirit coming in this passage, the Holy Spirit came down. And the scripture goes on in these next few verses in John chapter 16 and tells you and I of the blessing of the Holy Spirit coming down, it gives us. So let's begin reading in verse 8 through 11, and he tells us the blessing of the Holy Spirit coming. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. What Jesus is saying, he says, I'm going, the Holy Spirit is coming. And when he comes, he's going to do a tremendous and amazing work in the lives of people. Because he's going to convict them of sin. Bring in people to the point where they realize they're a savior in need, realize they're a sinner in need of a savior. And they're going to come to this point where they realize there's nothing they can do to satisfy God. Because he's going to tell them that about this righteousness. And this righteousness at God's standard is not the person sitting next to you or the person down the road or somebody over there. That the standard of God's righteousness is his son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect in all his ways. He says, that's the standard right there. The standard is Jesus. And when all of us compare to that standard of Jesus, we all fail. We've all sinned. None of us rise to God's glory because the standard is way too high. It's perfection every time, not once in a while, but every time. And none of us rise to that. And so the Holy Spirit will also use the word of God to challenge those who don't know him yet about coming judgment. The judgment is coming. First for the wicked one, and to all those that follow him, judgment is coming. He wants us to know that. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He judges in regards to sin, righteousness, and judgment to all. So we have this amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And if the Holy Spirit didn't come, no one would ever come to Christ. Do you realize that? It's impossible to come to Jesus without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It could never happen. You don't wake up one morning and say, man, I've decided I'm going to be a follower of Christ on your own. You don't wake up one morning and say, I'm decided, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus on my own. It never does happen. It doesn't work that way. It's impossible to come to God without the Holy Spirit. Do you realize it's impossible? So we know Christ because of what the Holy Spirit does in his ministry. That's the only way we can know Jesus is what the Holy Spirit is doing. So the world is blessed because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and it's the only way they can come to understand he is. And I've seen over the years of how many ways and in different ways God has to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes he does it in miraculous ways. We say, wow, look what he's doing and stuff. And it's always the work of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes people that see God do some things and they're saying, boy, that was just coincidences that God did to draw people to himself. There was just random chance of events that God did to bring people to himself. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. Nothing happens. Random chance of events just don't happen today. God uses his Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts and minds. It is God doing the work in their hearts and minds. And along the way, there may be some unusual circumstances that happen in your life, things that happen. You say, boy, this happened and that. And you might look at it as coincidence. But believe me, these are the work of the Holy Spirit, of God's own Spirit, doing that work in and through your life. There's no such thing as these random chance of events that happen in your life. And you just happen to stumble upon Jesus. You just happen to come to Christ on your own. And I stumbled upon it just by chance. It never happens that way. It never happens that way. The life that this ministry, we're so blessed because of this convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's only by him convicting us that we come to realize we need a Savior. It's only by him convicting us that we understand there is a Savior that came to die for us on the cross. And so he's drawn us to himself. He's drawn us to Jesus as the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And he's drawn us to him. And as Jesus said to Nicodemus, and he clearly so says it, he says, Nicodemus, don't you know you have to be born again? And Nicodemus says, oh, you mean I have to enter my mother's womb a second time? Can you imagine that, ladies? You're a grown adult entering your womb the second time. And he said, no, that's not what I mean at all. Because I'm not talking about a natural birth. He goes, what I'm talking about is a supernatural birth. That every salvation that happens, every time someone comes to Christ, it's a miracle. Do you realize it is a miracle that was brought by the Holy Spirit? And it's all Him. It's none of us, it's Him. And He worked in the lives, in their lives, and He drew them to us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, there is no one that is righteous. There is no one to understand. There is no one that seeks God. Not one of us seek God on our own. Not one of us wake up and say, I'm smarter than the guy down the road. I'm smarter than this one and this one. And I came to understand Jesus on my own. None of you are that smart. You realize that. All of us in the same place. Isaiah 53, 6, we all have gone astray. We have gone our own way. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He draws us to Himself. He draws us to Himself so we can come to know who He is. And He opens up our eyes so we can understand who He is, who Jesus is and what He did for us, and that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It's all by Him. Amen? Are you with me? I see somebody, come on. Amen? Okay, you with me? I'm not able to cover some other things that are in here for the sake of time and stuff like this, and I didn't even put it in my notes. But he goes on and he says in this passage of scripture that God is going to guide the apostles, and I believe he's talking specifically to the apostles. He's going to, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide them in the writing the word of God in which we have today. And that's what we have. It's inspired. God inspired them to write this. You and I, God gives us illumination. There's a huge difference between inspiration and illumination. God illuminates our minds and our hearts so that you and I can understand the word of God and we can make appropriate application in our life. He inspired the apostles to write the word of God. He illuminates our minds and our hearts so we can understand it and make correct application from the passage of scripture in which we read. And that's what God has. See, the Holy Spirit's involved in all those things. And if you were here today and you don't know Jesus yet, you're here and it says, man, you know, I've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you're just new here. You don't know Jesus yet. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning, right now, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And right now, you're standing and say, I don't know Jesus yet. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you to understand that you're a sinner. And because of your sin, it has separated you from God. And because of that sin, that one day judgment is going to come. And you come to understand that the one who died and gave his life for you is Jesus. And the only one that can save you from your sins and from that judgment is only one. It is Jesus. And you come to understand that this morning, maybe for the very first time, that God is, it just clicked. The Holy Spirit just clicked it in your heart and your mind. And you come to understand who this wonderful, amazing, and marvelous Savior is. That He came to die for you because He loves you so much. And you realize that I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, I've sinned against a holy, righteous God and it separated me. And for the very first time, your mind's been opened up that by the Holy Spirit, and you're understanding that. And I understand that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He stretched out His arms, and He bridged the gap between me and God. And I can have a relationship with God through Jesus. And for the very first time, I understand that Jesus is God, and that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And today, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sins, it says that God will forgive you your sins, and you become a child of God. And all these blessings that we've been talking about this morning are yours and more. Amen? They are yours and more. Once you accepted Christ, you're saved. The Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. And He's helping you. And God has bestowed upon you gifts. And He's there praying for you. And He's building a place for you in heaven. And it's all got your name on it. And God has done this all for you. These are blessings that God has given you and I. That's what He's given us. God has given everything that we need, all these blessings of Jesus, so you and I can live uphill in a downhill world. So you and I are without excuse. Do you realize that? God is saying to you and I've given everything that you need to live the life that I've called you, to accomplish my plan, my purpose, and my will in your life. And you're without excuse. I don't care what comes in your life, what you're dealing with right now. God is saying, I've given you everything. I've given Jesus to come down and die for you. He's went away. I've sent my Holy Spirit. I give you the truth of this word, and you've got it all. You've got everything you need. You got all these blessings of Jesus raining down upon you. God says, I've equipped you so well. So now that you can live the life that I've called you to. And every one of us that know Christ as our Savior without excuse. We can't say, well, I have this, Jesus, I understand it, but I've given you a way. Come to me. Come to my throne of grace. I promise you help. So every one of us, Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling you and I today, that he says, I've given you everything you need to live the life, the successful Christian life, the significant life, the life that he says, I want you to leave a legacy that makes a difference in people's life, not only in yours, but in your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, your family's life, your neighbor's life, your coworker's life, your community's life. He says, you are to make a difference because you are called to live uphill in a downhill world. You are called to live counterculturally, not go downhill with the rest of the world, but you are called to a different purpose, a higher purpose. Uphill is what God has called us, to live the way he gave us to live. And it's different. So we can bless as many as people as Jesus has blessed us. That God says, you are my ambassadors. I make my appeal to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says, send us out. We're that gospel message going out to wherever we go. People need to hear it. You may hear the world say, you can't share it. They don't need to hear it. They need to hear it. They want to hear it from someone that truly believes and is authentic and genuine. They want to hear the truth of who God is and who Jesus is. And we have the message that they need to hear. We have to be faithful. And God says, you are my ambassadors. I'm sending you out. I've pointed you and I'm sending you out. We're to be faithful to our calling, what he's called us. Amen? You have been blessed by Jesus. Every one of us, you know Christ as your Savior. You have been blessed. Let's pray. Lord, we come. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for all the blessings that we have in Christ. We thank you for all these. As we go down that list, God, you have just blessed us. And there's so many more. There's so many more blessings that we have because of Jesus coming to this earth, dying on the cross, and then leaving. And so many times we think, man, Jesus, you just could be here right now. I said, no, you don't understand. It's far better if I leave. Because if I leave, I'm going to send all these blessings your way. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit down, and he's going to do a work in you that's going to be amazing that I can't do because I'm going to be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit's going to be everywhere. I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to be everywhere around the world. And it's going to be a blessing to everyone. And he's going to be able to convict the world of their sin, or righteousness, and judgment. So they might come to hear the message of Jesus and understand who he is. Without him, none of us could understand. And we're so thankful, Jesus. We're so thankful for you, for coming to this earth, even though for a short time, you turned this world upside down by living here and then dying on the cross. And we praise you. We worship you and say thank you. But Lord, we're so thankful that you sent the Holy Spirit here to us. And now he's here on this earth. Your presence is here, but the Holy Spirit is here, Lord. And he indwells every one of us that know Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit, wherever we go, goes before us. As we're talking to people that don't know Jesus yet, to realize, Lord, my words won't accomplish anything without the power of the Holy Spirit working in life. So Lord, it might be in prayer. Holy Spirit, touch that person's life. Convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment so they might know it. So when I come with the message, they're ready to receive it. That's the only way anybody can receive it is through your power. So we're praying to you, Holy Spirit, do your work before us. Wherever we go, Lord, you'll be touching lives before we ever get there. And as you call us to minister, Lord, you would use the words that we share to impact people's lives, to change their lives, to turn their lives upside down, not for bad, but for your glory, for your glory. Glorify yourself through us. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus and all the blessings that we have. Lord, I pray this week that we might meditate on all the things that we have in Christ. All the things that we have. That Jesus, I can imagine there was a tug in your heart. God, but I want to stay with them. I love them. I want to be here. But he knew it was better that he leave. And Lord, I just praise you so much that you loved us that much. Not only came to die, when you came back from the dead, you knew it's better that you would go to be with the Father. You knew that was the best plan. And so you went to be with your Heavenly Father and you sent your Spirit here. We praise you and we thank you so much for all you've given us. Lord, we have every reason to worship you this morning. We have every reason to be joyful with understanding all the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. That all those things that you shared with those disciples that day, all these blessings are ours. Ours. And if we haven't realized them, Lord, open up our hearts and minds to all these blessings that we have in Jesus. Lord, let us sing with our heart, soul, mind, and strength in our worship this morning as we continue to worship you in song. Lord, bless our worship this morning. Bless us. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to the work that you're doing all around us, Lord, that we may see it. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.